Can you guys talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking right now, in fact.
Yeah, I can talk all day for...
I can talk.
I can...
All I've ever done is talk.
From the womb, and it's just screaming.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Naruto Roulette. The worst and best way to watch the show Naruto. My name is Kevin, and I know nothing about Naruto.
My name is Rachel, and I know some things about Naruto.
My name is Riley, and I'm a Naruto bro, and I love Naruto. He's my favorite character. You can write that down.
Believe it.
Dead bio.
You definitely have to believe in it, as Naruto always says. Riley, can you give us our last time on?
Last time on Naruto Roulette, we watched two amazing episodes, the first of which, Naruto died at the end. It was an interesting dive back into Sasuke's childhood. We met his dad, who had the worst character design that we've ever seen. We saw his older brother, who's way cooler than him, and also one of my favorite characters.
I thought your favorite character was Naruto.
He's my favorite character until there's somebody cooler. It's usually Itachi. the episode, you know, there's a lot of kind of like tension between Naruto and Sasuke. They're fighting, and Naruto got punched in the chest. There was a very meaty crunch, and he died at the end. The second episode we watched was a little less serious. There was a young girl painting an image of a destroyed Konoha. And, you know, the buildings were destroyed. People were away from the village. She was trying to erase Kurenai Sensei. And Naruto found his best friend, Old Man, who sacrificed himself so Naruto could live.
You know how people say, like, number one with a bullet, like people say that? I think this is like, you know, my favorite character is Old Man Kun, number one with a shuriken. Like, absolutely the best. And I, from what you both told me, there's many other old men that are unnamed
characters. There's many old men in this show. For a children's show, there's an inordinate amount of old men.
Well, I'm excited to continue to do some really fun random episodes of this podcast. But before we get into that, been thinking a lot about Naruto since we recorded the last.
Me too. I actually saw a YouTube video this past week made by the YouTuber, he's an animator, Didus. Have either of you ever heard of him?
0%.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, he made an excellent video about his quest to go find what he believed to be real, the Hidden Leaf Village, Konoha. He believes it's real and he was going to find it. And you know what he did? He found the real Hidden Leaf Village in Japan and got to have Naruto's ramen. He got to go on a quest to save Naruto. He had to fight against bad ninjas. and you got to find out what everyone's favorite foods were at this place and you got to eat them, which I thought was cool. It's a theme park. Yeah.
That was my next question. It was slowly coming together. I was like...
And the fact that there was a Naruto theme park and theme park, I think, is a fairly generous word. It's not like there's any rides. Mm. There is like an obstacle course that's three floors that you actually have to learn the hand signs to pass through.
Wow.
Yeah. You have to accurately do them in order to pass through a bunch of barriers.
So when are you going to Japan to put your hand sign skills to use in this obstacle course?
I think that you would be way better than me.
I think the answer is, you know, hey, listeners, you know, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Email in, say how much you love it. Maybe Patreon happens. And then we go to Japan. I mean, like...
And then we can see Naruto for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to see me eat shit in a obstacle course, give us 5 stars and subscribe.
That's awesome. I said I've been thinking a lot about Naruto, but I honestly am mostly thinking about other animes that I used to watch a lot. Been watching a lot of openings for things like Haruhi and Gundam 00, and I want to watch those shows so bad, but like I do not have time to watch all of Yu Yu Hakusho right now.
Yes, you do.
That is the curse of being like an adult. Yeah. Not having time to do the things you love.
I did start Demon Slayer.
Oh, really? So okay.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Have you seen Demon Slayer, Riley?
No. I have not.
It is the hotness. It is like mainstream in Japan. I don't know. What's something? It's like it.
It's very big.
Yeah, it's...
Is it like American Gladiator?
It's the Fortnite of...
Yeah, it's some... Current no, anime. It's an anime. Big enough that, like, a random grandparent would be like, oh, that's Tanjiro, the main character. It actually, I think, was the... it released a movie back in 2020. I think it was the number one grossing movie of the year worldwide. I think. If not, like, obviously, the highest... It was the highest grossing movie in Japan ever, I believe.
I mean, it's interesting watching it because I think someone who watches Naruto, I think, especially if you watch Naruto as a young kid and haven't returned to anime, I think Demon Slayer might be your way back in, because I was watching it and I was like, it's like, in terms of writing, I've only seen two episodes of Naruto, so maybe the writing gets incredible.
It
I think
does.
The thing, I think that, but truly, I think the things that are good about Naruto, even just that two episode ends, aren't necessarily like the character writing or like any of that stuff. It's like, it's the pomp and circumstance. It's the crazy things that happen. It's the ridiculous shonen stuff. But the things that Demon Slayer does in terms of introducing those characters, getting you to care about them, not wasting any time, having a teacher character who you're like, I like this person and I care about them, and they're showing like emotion for this like teacher character, and it was in a way that like in other shonen shows I have not seen, like your Master Roshi figure or whoever you want to say shed a tear because he was worried about his student or whatever. So it's just really cool. Like, it feels like a growth of shonen in terms of when you compare us watching Naruto and being like, what you're seeing from the characters and how they interact versus how they do so in something like Demon Slayer.
And the budget is just so much higher.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So there's not a lot of like still pans in that one.
Now, Kevin, just to clarify, have you met Tanjiro's two friends?
No.
Okay, cool.
Well, he's out in the road being a Demon Slayer.
Yeah, so you haven't met like the other two guys who appear in the ending sequence, really.
No, I don't know.
Okay, cool. You would know, and I want to hear how your feelings on the show.
I assume that they're the ones you're referring to. We have met, but have not been introduced as main. Like there are some other Demon Slayers that join at the same time that he does.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's enough about Demon Slayer, because this is a Naruto podcast.
This is a Naruto show.
But it's because of Naruto that I was like, well, I can't watch more Naruto, but I want to watch anime, and I shouldn't watch shows that I watched 8 times before again. So let's watch Demon Slayer.
Should we spin the wheel?
Yeah, let's spin the wheel. So we're going to spin the wheel and see. And there is no wheel right now. It is a Google random number generator, but maybe we should have a wheel at some point.
Sounds.
Oh, we should. Well, like, we're going to find the canonical third episode of Naruto.
Yeah, this is the third episode of Naruto that we're rolling for. Let's see. 123. 123 is the Leaf's Handsome Devil.
Oh, yes.
Konoha no Aoki Yaju Kenzan.
Leaf's Handsome
you,
Devil.
You are in for a treat, Kevin.
I mean, any title and something like Naruto saying something about someone being handsome and then adding devil at the end of it is... I know I have to be ready for some stuff to happen. Some antics to happen.
Episode 4. 156.
Ooh, okay.
Raiga's counterattack. So that first was aired originally February 23rd, 2005 in Japan, and 156 is aired originally October 19th, 2005.
Gyakusho no Raiga.
We're going to break here and watch some Naruto episodes, and we'll be back when we're done.
Believe it.
All right, we're back, everybody. We just watched two episodes of Naruto, and boy, what two episodes those two were. Mm. It's really a tale of two episodes in a lot of ways, and that one I liked very much, and one I thought was real stupid.
I wonder why.
I liked things from both episodes, but I... But
In different ways?
In different ways. But why don't you give us, at least for the first episode. Okay.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's do a recap of the first episode. So this was it's a pretty serious episode. And knowing the storyline, you know, it's in there. So basically we start out, we've got Naruto, he's fighting, the bone guy. If you know Naruto, you know who the bone guy is, but he's, you know, he's somebody who's associated with Orochimaru. He has taken Sasuke from the Leaf Village, or maybe he's transporting him from one of Orochimaru's dungeons to somewhere else. Anyway, he's got Sasuke in a box.
Specifically a barrel.
A barreled box. It's a circular box.
A backpack.
Yeah. At the same time, we've got Shikamaru, who is fighting somebody who's got a fully developed, like, curse seal on them. He has her in his shadow, like, prison thing, and that's pretty much where it stays for the whole episode. So we're not going to talk about them anymore.
I have something to say about that. I'm
talking about in the summary. And then the last kind of thread that's happening, too, is you've got Kiba and Akamaru. Akamaru is, like, hurt. Kiba's grinding up leaves and putting it on him, and they're, like, doing a stealth mission away from everything, it seems like. They don't see anybody else the whole episode, so we're not going to talk about them anymore either. So basically, you know, you've got Naruto versus this bone guy. He's getting his ass kicked. And then all of a sudden, Lee shows up from his, like, post-surgery state that we find out later on. And he decides he's going to fight the bone guy while Naruto goes and chases Sasuke.
Right, because Sasuke emerges out of the barrel,
right? So Sasuke emerges out of the barrel. You see he's got... Emerge is a little too soft. Sasuke explodes out of the barrel. He's got some, like, Saiyan hair stuff going on. And you see there's a lot of glowing marks that recede up. And then he's kind of, like, laughing maniacally. So Sasuke is in a mood. And he runs off into the woods.
Naruto's like, now let's go home, Sasuke.
Yeah.
Sasuke.
Naruto's got some romantic views about what's going to happen when Sasuke emerges. Anyway, he runs off. Lee shows up, decides he's going to distract Bone Guy while Naruto chases him down. Then you have the last plot line where you find out that Lee has actually just broken out of the hospital after having surgery when he was supposed to, like, never be able to fight again, I think. He needs to take his medicine, though, so he's brought his medicine with him. But wait, you find out, actually, he accidentally took a bottle of sake with him instead of his medicine. And, you know, going back and forth between the two scenes, Guy reveals that Lee has drank sake before. And destroyed a whole tea house. And he's, like, you know, really powerful with the drunken fist. Lee then is about to be killed, holds up his hand and says, time out. The super evil guy stops mid-swing for some reason. Lee says, I need to take my medicine. So, okay, they take a 5-minute break. Lee drinks his quote-unquote medicine. And gets super hammered, and then right as he's about to throw down drunken style, the episode ends.
It was such good foreshadowing, too, because Evil Bone Guy was like, you're too predictable. Oh, now he's drunk.
Yes. The strength of drunken boxing.
So, what an introduction to Rock Lee. Let me tell you, number one character of all time. Like, wow, he's so cool. And the second episode also, it doesn't discourage that, like, who are these other, who's Naruto? This show should be called Rock Lee the anime. Like,
I mean, Rock Lee is my favorite character, alongside a couple other ones. But, you know, Rock Lee, he's awesome because we didn't really see this in the episode, but Rock Lee can't do anything aside from martial arts. So
he's a martial arts master.
So he doesn't have any, like,
he has no ninja abilities whatsoever.
He can't do magic.
He's just, like, really good.
He's just really powerful.
He's just punch good.
Which is, you know, it's martial arts, right? Like, they're still fighting. So if you're really good at that, that encourages my comparison of him to a character like a Krillin, or Piccolo is, I think, more apt, more what I thought of, like, because Krillin at some point is too weak in Dragon Ball Z to do anything, but Piccolo pretty much through the end of Dragon Ball Z is important and still, like, really cool and badass, and you care about him. So I was like, yeah, this guy jumps in and he's gonna delay this. Like, what I love is if that villain said nothing this entire episode, I would have been like, yeah, that's the villain. Yeah, sometimes a villain doesn't look like a villain, but
he's not flagging as a good guy
what he's wearing. He's like, it's like off one shoulder. He's got a bone knife. Unclear.
He's a little effeminate, which makes him suspicious.
And he's got Sasuke in a barrel, which was incredible. And Sasuke in a barrel. Check out our new shirt. there was a little bit of Rock Lee fighting, and that was enough. You know, we didn't get the whole thing, which is so painful because I really want to watch the next episode and see that fight. But like, even what we got, I was like, yeah, that guy's so cool. He comes in, he counters the bad guy, and
right,
like,
and then
so
he does
cool.
It a second time. He's like, don't ignore me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Actually, he catches like. Basically, what's a katana downswing with his bare hands,
yeah,
and tells him not to ignore him, which is pretty fucking awesome.
I mean, this guy, like, biggest takeaway from both episodes is favorite character is definitely Rock Lee because he's so cool. And just, like, you can't diminish the power of being a real weirdo in a fight, like, being really confusing, like, him being like, I need a timeout, like, this, like, really serious bad guy doesn't know how to process that, and it's just like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't really know how to deal with that, so he did nothing.
Yeah, and, like, that's, you can't knock that. That's something, if you're ever in a fight, being confusing, I think, is a good way to get into, you know, to avoid getting hurt. But, so a few other things that I wanted to bring up about that fight in that episode. And this is true for the second episode we watched. And
do we want to talk about the second episode? Give a summary of it before we go? Or do we want to stick with this one?
I want to talk about both episodes. So let's do...
Okay, cool. Okay, so the second episode, we kind of dropped in mid-fight. It was tough to figure out exactly what was going on at first. But basically, so Tenten, this is the first time we've seen Tenten, who has a pretty cool fighting style. I think the show doesn't really use her enough in it. But anyway, so she's fighting this guy, Raiga, and he is, like, really pissed off that some kid that he was with is dead.
They were going to be together forever?
Yeah, they were going to be together forever. He's super upset. you quickly find out Raiga is a lightning user, which, like, makes sense because of his name. And if you know anything about Tenten, her whole deal is she uses weapon scrolls to make, like, tons of shuriken and stuff. Like, a lot of metal stuff. So not a good matchup for lightning. They fight a little bit. He counters a ton of shuriken and stuff with lightning. So she whips out a wooden quarterstaff. And you're like, all right, she's going to kick his ass now. Because she kind of, like, disarms him a little bit. And then he completely destroys her. I was actually halfway through writing, she's doing awesome with a quarterstaff. And then he blew her away. So I had to write, oh, never mind. And then, while she's kind of, like, knocked out, she's intimidating this guy who, like, his only personality trait is that he's scared. So we're gonna call him Scared Guy.
Scared Coon.
Scared Guy is really scared of Raiga, who wants to kill all the Leaf Village ninja who've come to kind of, like, help this kid, the Scared Guy's village. And he basically intimidates Scared Guy into helping him make a trap for the Leaf Ninja. So... He and Scared Guy depart, but not before Raiga promises to present the Leaf Village corpses at the kid's funeral. Immediately after they leave, Tenten, being the sensible one, comes back to consciousness and then checks on the kid. It turns out he's not dead. So Raiga was just flipping out for no reason. She takes him away. Smash cut to Naruto, Lee, and Neji are fixing up an old lady's house.
Yeah. A little bit
confusing, yeah, like, transition there.
Three of them have community service hours. Yeah.
Scared Guy shows up. It turns out the old lady is his mom. Who knows why he wasn't there helping rebuild her house. He then proceeds to tell Naruto, Lee, and Neji, Tenten got hurt up on the mountain in a rock slide or something. You should go save her. So
she fell down a cliff.
She fell down a cliff. Okay, yeah. Okay, so
they've all passed the chewing exam.
Oh, Actually,
oh, you're right.
No,
you're right,
they
you're
haven't. Right. Yeah. But anyway, Tenten is a badass ninja lady. She fell off a cliff and she's hurt. So she's hurt. They go off, run off to save her. Scared guy immediately reveals to his mom, okay, we need to leave and just bail on them. They're going to get killed by Raiga. We need to get out of here. Mom doesn't want to do that. And then I kind of missed the part. They like transfer from a house to a restaurant at some point in this area. So they go over to the restaurant. Lee, Naruto, and Neji go to fight Raiga, and Naruto and Neji, you know, have this cool plan where Naruto just runs straight at the guy making shadow clones. The guy blows up all his shadow clones instead of hitting the original as he runs in, and then Neji, while this distraction's going on, comes up behind the guy. He's gonna use Gentle Fist, and then all of a sudden, without any warning, a huge lightning bolt comes down and blows Neji away. And then the same thing happens to Naruto.
We
so they're down.
We all were hysterical with laughter.
The way this episode was animated just, you know, made that.
Great job, Naruto.
Yeah. Yep. Immediate failure. So Lee's the only one left. And we get to see him do another badass thing where he alters kind of his fighting style a little bit. He reaches down into his little leg warmers, pulls off the leg weights, and drops them. Although we don't get to see it, you do see from a distance that there's a huge explosion of earth, implying that they're heavier than they seem.
Which is, for me, for being someone who grew up on Dragon Ball Z, I'm like, oh, I understand the show now.
Yes. So he gets ready to fight Lightning Guy. Cut back to old lady, scared guy. They're at the restaurant. And Tenten and the kid show up. The kid is, like, in critical condition, basically. And it turns out the old lady knows how to make the quote-unquote curry of life. Something that can revive this kid from the brink of death. I guess they've already used it on Lee. We didn't see that because that happened in another episode. So they make the curry. The kid smells it and refuses to eat it, which I don't blame the kid. It's jet black. It looks kind of gross. And then scared guy tells his mom, oh, you messed up the spices. Let me make it the real way. Makes it the real way. Gives it to the kid. The kid eats it.
Entire bottle of curry powder went in.
Yes. Yeah. It was spicy. Apparently, the old lady didn't want it to be too zesty. So she didn't use that. they feed the curry to the kid. He takes one bite, then ends up eating the bowl and decides that he's got a new lease on life. By the way, side note, this kid is a murderer, too. I think they said that in the episode that there were people who were killed against their will by this kid.
which is pretty common.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know
usually
a lot about,
when you're killed, that's how it goes.
I don't know a lot about murder, but usually...
we cut back... Actually, we cut back to Lee, who... now that his leg weights are off, he tries to go for an attack for this guy. He kind of, like, he hits him a couple times, then gets shocked by lightning, looks like he's down and out, heroically gets up and rallies, and is slowly walking towards the guy, and then the episode ends right there. So, once again, Lee's about to fight, don't really see anything.
Which is pretty funny that we got both.
Well, first, before we move on,
okay,
Kevin, filler or not filler on both of these episodes?
So, in terms of quality, the second one really feels like filler, but based on the limited information that I have, it feels like they're both not filler. One, because, I mean, this is kind of cheating, but it's the end. The second episode was the end of that season. So, I don't know. Usually, you have an end of a season, and it's important. So, like, I don't know. Maybe that's just not how Naruto works. But, like, it was stupid, but at least it was, like... When I think of filler, I think of, like, Piccolo and Goku learning how to drive cars. Like, I think about stuff that is absolutely not, like, usually not fighting, usually like, just absolutely, like, fussing around. It wasn't that in the second one, even if I really didn't like it. So I'd say no on both.
So, Kev, remember last time what I said was actually a really interesting tell about the filler? The female characters were relevant and did things.
Yeah. That's true.
That was the most I think I've ever seen Tenten do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Speak, fight.
That's true.
Be a cog in the wheel of the plot.
Well, she seemed like she was actually, you know, gonna beat somebody, and I feel like most of the other times when you see her fight, you're like, oh, cool, she's got like all these weapons and stuff. And then she gets completely owned by somebody who has some sort of bloodline trait where they have like an ability that completely counters that, which may have happened a little bit here too, but she got more screen time before it happened.
Yeah, and I recognize that from my experience. Like, two out of the four episodes we've watched have involved female characters doing a lot of cool shit. So, like, I'm like, you know, as far as I know, they're integral to the story. And Tenten was like, her stuff was cool. I thought it was silly, but in kind of a fun way, where she had like 100,000 shurikens and like all these things that just like the kitchen sink type fighting style is what it really felt like. But yeah, so maybe the second one is, but like, at least without knowing any of that information, like, it felt like at least both there's like, here's this villain, we're fighting them, and it's maybe doesn't move. I guess what the question is like, what is filler? You know, is it just that it doesn't move the actual plot forward, or is it just that, or is it more detailed in terms of like, it's stuff that really like stretches the bounds of what you would come to Naruto to watch.
Mm.
Okay, so I think the short answer to that is, when we talk about filler, we're talking about episodes that don't center around like Naruto and Sasuke's kind of like rivalry, and with like Orochimaru trying to destroy the Leaf Village and stuff like that.
I think very literally it's stuff that was invented whole cloth and not part of the manga. Although, I mean, so some people often talk about, and like, I'm not anti-filler in the sense that like, I don't believe it should exist. It exists to fill the fact that they needed to produce shows and there was not enough manga. And so I think the frustration with filler is that it almost acts as like it doesn't mean anything in the long run. We're just treading water. We're wasting time, because it's if you can literally watch a bunch of different kind of series that have filler in them, and if you cut those parts out, you wouldn't notice, because it's not allowed to affect character development long term. It's not allowed to affect the plot. So if, you know, not that like the episodes in them couldn't be entertaining or worthwhile, but I also noticed that filler tends to be hastily written. For instance, there was a lot of stuff in this particular episode where, I mean, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, like, you know, people getting killed involuntarily, kind of weird writing. And also the animation style, let's talk about that.
Oh my god, it was Looney Tunes.
It was super bad.
All of these OCs that were created, they all have lips. Whereas all of the older art style characters do not have lips.
I hate Raiga so much.
he looks so stupid,
and his two stupid knives that are lightning bolts or whatever they do. And he says himself, "I'm stupid," and I'm like, "Yes, you are." Like, I wasn't like, "Oh, that's a funny affect." I'm like, "Yes, you are."
Did
very
he actually
stupid.
Say I'm stupid?
Yeah, I think he did. He's like, "I'm not smart," is what he says to.
I mean, that's why he didn't check to make sure his friend was dead.
Yeah, or bailed right away.
He also made the mistake that so many characters make in anime, which is if you do a big attack on someone and there's a smoke cloud, they're not dead. If we don't see a body, they're not dead. So Tenten, of course, is not dead.
Right. But I think, yeah, it was Looney Tunes art style. I think that I'm really starting to notice as we're watching, not just this episode, but all of them, that there's a surprising lack of care given to the subtitles. Mm. And because a lot of these things feel like very literal translations or poor translations. Mm. You know, I feel pretty okay about the fact that maybe it didn't say that they were killed against their will. You know, I don't like that might have been literally what might have been said in Japanese, yes. But perhaps it shouldn't have been because maybe it means something different.
It definitely means something.
You know, lots of clumsy phrasing, lots of which is so surprising given like how big of a property this is, you know.
That is interesting, because I didn't even notice that difference between the two of them. Are you saying that happened on both episodes or just the filler
episode? No, every episode. I think the filler episode, okay. I think it's more noticeable because the writing is poor. Mm. And so that makes the bad translation, I think, stand out more because it's already not making sense. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, things logistically, like Tenten takes the dying child through a storm to a holding cell, and then she's like, I can't stay here for some reason, it's not safe. Then she goes to Granny's house. The whole reason that happens is because they can't have her arrive at the same time as Scared Coon. You know, and then Neji immediately clocks that this guy is lying, and the guy's like, don't worry, I'm gonna come after you with a first aid kit. Go grab it, right. You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then Neji's like, okay, this is a trap, but they still go. That's like, true. Why do they do that?
So, I think it's because, I don't think, like, let's say Neji's, like, wrong and this guy's telling the truth. Like, if I was one of those three, I wouldn't want this guy around because he's just going to be a target or, like,
they could have questioned
dead
him.
Weight or anything like that. Like, if there's a fight that's going to happen, you don't want this weirdo around.
Like, Neji, though, is, like, a smart character.
Yeah.
You know?
He's usually supposed to be very analytical.
Right. Rock Lee, Naruto, jumping in, get it. Like,
yeah, they're the meatheads, for sure.
Well, I think I didn't get the sense like, oh, this is a dumb decision by that character. I think that the character, I've already forgotten their name. You just said it.
Neji.
I think that reaction shot was that character like saying, you're lying, but also making the decision of like, Tenten is probably out there no matter what happened. Yeah. And we do not have time to deal with this weirdo who's going to do no more harm from here. Like, we have something to do. So, and that's why they're immediately like talking about, okay, there's probably something going on when they're running away. So I thought that was fine.
Did you pick up on his eye power thing?
Where he's like looking and he sees like the...
Yeah, he can like see through stuff. Yeah. That was the same power, I don't know if you remember, from the last time that Hinata also had.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I sort of.
Okay.
It looked a little different.
I'm trying to help you. Like, this is only episode 4, and that was episode 2, so just trying to keep you.
And,
like,
you know, when you watch them linearly, like we are, you know, sometimes it's hard to pick stuff up.
Right. I think I don't have a lot of thoughts about that character other than what I just said. Like, we don't get much from them, so I don't need necessarily context because I'm like, I don't know. Once there's an episode we watch where they're featured and we, like, learn things, then I'll worry about it.
What did you think about the side characters in the other episode?
I really loved that first episode. It was really, really fun to watch. It was the best episode I think we've watched so far. But I also, and this is probably made worse by not having context, but the fight of the two, I don't know their names, but the two people literally just standing next to each other for the entire B-plot fight, where they're just literally, where he's using
the
shadow.
And Shikamaru.
Oh, yeah. Right. They don't move at all. It's like this like very like shadow hand going up the like, that's where they like saved their money on animation in that episode where I'm like, it's just them standing next to each other going, whoa. And I'm like, why do I don't care. And then I laughed at it because it was hilarious because I was like, I don't know what's happening with this other guy and this dog. Like, why is the dog involved in the fight number one that apparently happened? And also you're sneaking away. But like, I didn't worry about that because I was like, a lot of my like not liking these parts is probably having to do with I have no idea what's going on. Right. Mm. I think it's more of a cost of not having context more than like me thinking, oh, that was bad writing. Like the similar moments for that in the second episode, I didn't have that impression where I was like, I don't know what's going on, but even if I did, I don't think this would be good. So that's the difference there. So really all I really like cared about or focused on that first episode was Sasuke, Naruto, and Rock Lee. And I think my other impression from these episodes, 4 episodes in, I'm like, why do we care about Sasuke?
You know, like, that's the eternal question.
Like, I'm like, all, and you know, it's part of the randomness, but all I've seen from Sasuke so far is that he sucks. And I'm like, Naruto, you have all these like great friends who are there for you. Like, Rock Lee's like, go, I'll stand here and maybe die to this guy, even though I just got out of like surgery that might have ended my life or whatever. Like, don't worry, I got this. Like, that's the kind of friend you want. You don't want like this Sasuke who like you're like, hey, it's so good to see you after you exploded from a barrel. Let's be friends again. And he just laughs at you and runs away into the woods. Like, I gotta realize what's going on here, Naruto. So that's one of my things.
Well, he made that promise, right?
Yeah, I guess he did.
Yeah, he made some sort of promise to Sakura in a good guy pose, so he's got to keep that.
It's a promise of a lifetime.
So let's talk about the weird scene with the fifth Hokage and, like, the Jonin who are injured in the hospital. I was having trouble figuring out exactly what the reasoning is, but it seemed like what she was saying was, we've got Sasuke who's, like, been captured by a terrorist. Orochimaru is a terrorist. He's got, like, this weird bloodline thing that nobody else alive has anymore. And this terrorist has stolen this.
Sasuke has the weird bloodline.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. We can't reallocate any of our super high-level special ops ninjas to go get them back. Maybe would be able to do it easily. We're going to send these kids instead, who are the lowest level of ninja. Why? Why are we doing that?
Plot.
I did not understand why.
No, the... Mm-hmm.
Plot. Because plot needs to happen.
She said international relations, something, something, like...
Right, but, like, take Kakashi off of... What is he doing?
Wait,
right,
yeah, where now? Is he? Yeah,
he's probably reading Make Out Paradise in a hammock somewhere. Send him after this. He could have blown away that guy immediately.
Guy Sensei is just standing around.
Yeah.
I like that he shows up, like, this is a history reference, but like the person who ran the first marathon.
Oh, yeah, and yelled Nike and died. Like,
yeah, and like where he ran that distance and absolutely... The first thought I had was like, oh, it's like that time in Greek history when that guy died after running a marathon to deliver one message.
Well, not to, like, you know, get too far off topic, but technically he didn't run 26 miles, the Greek guy. He ran like 126 two ways and then died.
Dear listeners, sure, yeah, if you haven't figured out, Riley is really into running.
Well, I never, even if it was just the 26 miles, I'm assuming he was in, like, gear, like he didn't run naked. Yeah. So I never thought of him as being like, oh yeah, he died from the marathon. Anyway, this is a tangent. But this isn't related to anything we're talking about, but I just want to bring it up because I kept thinking about it in both of these episodes and from other things that I know about Naruto before watching these. Has the Shadow Clone Jutsu ever worked? Because in the second episode we watched today, that's the closest it came to working. In the first episode, Naruto's just sitting there and being like, oh, my clones are dying. Oh, no. And in the previous episodes, he used it and they immediately get destroyed by Sasuke. And I'm like...
So we're watching, like, high-level episodes right now. So Naruto, you know, he's 12 and he's using... It's an ability that's been outlawed for some reason from what I remember. He had to steal some forbidden scroll to learn this. And these episodes have been a terrible example of him using it because he does actually use it in pretty strategic ways and a lot of very, like,
in very, like, haha, I'm over here. Yeah. And then
it gives you respect for him because you're like, wow, Naruto is really stupid, like, 95% of the time in this show. But when he uses the Shadow Clones right, you're like, wow, he's actually thinking about stuff.
Especially when he makes
them
women.
A cool strategy. I mean, obviously that's the best ability for the Shadow Clones. But
like, I don't have any in that context. And so far, four episodes, he's used it a lot and it has not worked once.
Yes.
I'm like, just punch the guy. Like, what are we doing here? Like, there's a lot of instances of those types of abilities that are used in, like, a Dragon Ball Z. And they always never work because it's like, no, these are just like filler abilities where it's just here to be like, oh, I have this new thing. And eventually it's just, no, I'm going to Kamehameha this guy or I'm going to punch him in the face. So it doesn't feel yet like it just feels like something that he uses to be like, oh, it didn't work.
Yeah,
oh, they must be powerful.
That is a fair point, and that's exactly what's happening.
One of the things that I wanted to, we were talking about, like, bits, different, like, things that we might bring up every episode. I think one, and we can talk about the name of it, but I think it's NPC of the Week. I know that they're all, like, not player characters. This isn't a video game, but, like, a non-player character being, like, this side character who's, like, gives you a quest or is, like, not important in some way. Not one of the main characters. So maybe there's a better name for it, but I'm going to nominate Scaredcoon for NPC of the Week. Because, like, I don't like him, But he has a lot of really moments that I loved because they were so stupid, where he's like scrambling away and like all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I was originally going to nominate one of the doctors from the first episode because he has like someone's explaining something. He's just like,
ooh! And then at the end, he conquers his fear and he makes curry.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has this like introspective moment and he's like, ah, yes. And I did think he was going to go to the fight and be, and then he starts cooking and I'm like, that's so stupid. So that's why I nominate him for MVC of the week.
I agree with that, partially because I'm a professional chef and I love when cooking solves stuff in a show like this, and it absolutely did.
It looks even so delicious. Even if it was
a filler. He was probably the only NPC that actually did anything, I think, is one of the reasons why I would second that. But I wanted to just say, the thing I like about him is that he's got, like, real vibes of, like, the teenager in The Simpsons. You know, like, The Simpsons, there's one teenager that does every crappy job in Springfield. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Simpson, let me get your car. That's exactly what this guy was like the whole time.
I've never seen The Simpsons.
Check out.
Okay, we'll dig into that later. What the hell?
Sign up for our partner podcast, Simpsons Roulette, where we watch random episodes of The Simpsons. Yeah, I love that he would, like, fit into the trope of that sort of, like, oh, I'm sorry, boss. Like, oh, they got me, boss. Don't, I'll do better next time. Like,
He just kept running up to the wall and then being like, oh, no, it's the wall.
Oh, wait, hold up. You just said that boss thing. Did he call Raiga boss at the beginning of the episode?
Oh, you're right.
He does throughout it. Interesting.
Now I kind of want to know.
What's the relationship?
He obviously worked for him. He keeps saying that. Oh, yeah.
They talk about the people boss being brought back from the dead, too. Yeah. Like, Raiga hasn't always been there. And then Raiga wanted to be, like, with that kid forever. I was trying to figure out if it was, like, do you remember, you know, I know in the false beginning of Naruto, the Mist Village with Haku and
Zabuza.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out if it was, like, that kind of relationship, or if it was, because it was, like, really weird. It wasn't like he thought of him as his son. There was a significant age difference.
Yeah, so you're saying, okay, we've got this guy who's like, he's a pretty powerful fighter, and he's found this kid with a weird mutation that is like more powerful than any other ninja he's ever met, kind of deal.
Maybe, because he was like, we're going to be together forever. And he's like, I'm going to give you corpses at your funeral. Like, that's a lot. Yeah,
it's an odd relationship, for sure.
So that kid did look like James from Team Rocket. So that's what I was thinking the entire time.
James!
And also a little bit like Ken from Digimon.
And a little bit also like Trunks, Kid Trunks at least, from Dragon Ball Z. Those are all good points. I mean, like, I still keep going back to Raiga looks so stupid. He looks like a demon that lasts one episode in like a Demon Slayer or like one of these other ones.
Monster of the Week.
Yeah, like specifically a demon from like where he's got this like big like crazy smile and he's like, I'm so evil and I'm a demon. I'm not human, but I'm in a human body. And then he gets like blown up by the main character.
I was troubled by his character design, to be honest with you. Having done no research into it, the darker skin and the gigantic lips were giving me a little.
It's off-putting.
Yeah.
But even if that wasn't true, he's still stupid.
Yeah, he's not a well-designed character. He's not, like, scary. He's got some sort of weird eye thing.
Yeah,
where it's like looks like swirls or something.
It was kind of strange. It was like somebody's original character, Do Not Steal. Yeah. And because they said he didn't use chakra. He used the lightning itself. So he had an ability that is not something we've ever discussed within Naruto. He just wielded the lightning.
Yeah, I think that is true. He wielded the lightning, but they were making a comparison between earlier he electrocuted Naruto using chakra lightning, and then there was a storm happening during the second fight, so he was able to kind of, like, use that to augment his abilities.
I also love how much people can just be struck by lightning and be like, that sucks, and then get up.
Like, a bunch of people got struck by lightning and they were fine. Actually, I think Neji and Naruto are dead. They did not get back.
They might not be dead, but they are not fine. Yeah. They're like face first on the ground, like not moving.
They're
like,
more fine than I would be.
That's true. That stuff doesn't bother me. Like that stuff I just totally expect from like a show like this where it's like someone gets hit by a giant beam and then they're like hurt, but then they're like still able to fight or something like that. That's the kind of stuff you want. But yeah, episode 2 was dumb. Episode 1 was good. I have a few other thoughts, random thoughts I just want to bring up. Both with 2 new openings, I think. I loved these 2 openings much more than the other 2 openings we saw. Way better. Thought they were cool. Those songs might.
That first opening that we saw too in the first episode of today had an entire like flashback sequence of Sasuke and Naruto's whole relationship, yes, including the kiss.
You know, oh yeah, it did have
that
the
was
kiss
in there.
It. Yeah.
If you're looking at this now, we didn't have the podcast art until now, so you'll see it for the first episode, but. Recently was when we, before recording this episode, is when we saw it for the first time. So that's incredible, and it's by Riley, and it's perfect. What else do I have to say about this episode? Flashback counter. It was a little hard to know without knowing the context of, like, what is a flashback and what is a, like, look at what is happening elsewhere in an episode. But there was at least one that I counted in flashback in each episode where it was a true flashback to happening before. In the second episode, or in the first episode, it was the flashback to the tea shop that Rock Lee destroyed. And the second one, there's another flashback to something else.
Yeah, I think in the first one, there was another flashback where Naruto, Sasuke runs away, and Naruto's like, oh, like, all our good times together, training and stuff. He flashes back to a couple different scenes.
So people can correct us, but we'll say 3 flashbacks this one, and I'm going to count them from the first episode. I don't remember how many it was, so we can keep track of how many flashbacks, because that's so, every time it happens now, I laugh, because I'm like, this is...
Oh, it's definitely a meme in this show to flashback way too often.
One of the things I actually, again, like, Naruto keeps surprising me, at first I thought it was going to be a flashback, but then actually I thought it was a pretty clever animation technique where, you know, they used this leaf, and of course they're from the Hidden Leaf Village, and they focused on all these characters from the village, and they used the leaf as an animation through line to show you what was happening with all the characters. And then I believe Sasuke, right before he runs off, stomps a leaf beneath his foot. And I was like, again, Naruto, like, pulling out symbolism and thoughtfulness that I had not expected.
See, that's how you know it's not a filler episode, too. Because that probably was in the manga.
You know, like, it was just like, but it was a nice animation through line to show, like, okay, what's Shikamaru up to? Okay, what's Kiba up to? Okay, what's going on? And then you come back to the Naruto and Sasuke action, and Sasuke just crushes that leaf. And you're like, and of course, Sasuke wasn't in the second opening we saw today.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it sort of points to the fact that if we're saying filler is bad, not filler is good so far, then yeah, the symbolism in the one episode that wasn't filler being good versus the one that was bad didn't have any of that. Unless the symbolism is a person gets murdered by lightning. Yeah, so I think that's kind of brings us to the end. I think, you know, unless there are any objections, I'm going to award Scared Coon NPC of the Week. And I'm going to retroactively award Old Guy Coon NPC of the Week for episode 1.
No arguments here.
Yeah, I don't really have any arguments. I think the only person who could contend with Scared Guy is his mom. because she's the one who puts him straight and makes him actually, like, kind of turn his ways around.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, it's hard because, like, this is new, so, like, how are we judging this? Yeah. And I think there's no real rules to it. But which one do I think is a better person? Yeah, the mom is better, but, like, I laughed more at the scared crawling away and stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at, so...
Who's your favorite character right now?
Okay. Rock Lee. Rock Lee with
this,
the shuriken.
This was a good week for Rock Lee.
Man.
He didn't do a lot, but he
doesn't matter.
Flexed.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. He was so cool.
He
and then
dominated
he got cooler.
The screen.
He was cool when he came in and he blocked it and he did the thing where he's like, who is it? It's Rock Lee. And then he did went into the drunken fighter stance. And I'm like, I know, I've seen martial arts movies, so I know that. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. He, like, that's just like part of his thing. That's awesome. Yeah, so Rock Lee, absolutely. And like, it's like he was cool enough, even in both episodes, where I was like, maybe I should get a Rock Lee figure.
Well, when we first saw the episode names, it was Handsome Devil of the Leaf Village, and I immediately was like, that's Guy Sensei, because that's something he would say, and I was relieved to see that it was Rock Lee instead, because I like him so much better than Guy.
So would you say Rock Lee is your favorite character, Riley?
Rock Lee is definitely my favorite character. when I'm not liking Naruto, I'm liking Rock Lee. Oh, yeah, and also Itachi. Mm-hmm. So the favorite character list, Naruto, Itachi, Rock Lee. It's only going to lengthen.
I know that Shikamaru was only on screen and doing nothing most of the time. So he was on screen for 5 seconds and doing nothing for most of that time. But I was just reminded of how much I love him as a character. Just the moment he had with that lady where he's like, hey, I don't hit defenseless women. You are not defenseless. And then he tries to choke her. I was like, I remember how much I like you.
He's very pragmatic.
So the thing I'll end with is the other thing that we had from last week. I think we should continue, which is Baka of the Week. Now, I'm going to nominate the same person. I'm going to nominate Scaredcoon for two awards in a week as this weird mafia boss underling. But, you know, you could say Raiga.
He did call himself an
idiot. Raiga is, like, low-hanging fruit. He's definitely stupid. My nomination is, and correct me if I'm saying this incorrectly, Tsunade, the fifth Hokage.
Yeah.
Because that is some bullshit that she didn't send Jonin after them. Like, come
on. I can't
on,
save the
child
children.
Soldiers. It's
ooh,
ridiculous.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that's hard because one of them, it's like, it's so overt. And the other one is like, so political, and like both of them are just like holding idiot balls and doing it in order to like expedite the plot forward, you know.
Well, I think my argument against that is that I think she looks pretty cool, and like Hokage is like, that's the ninja king, right?
Yeah,
essentially like the queen
kind
of the ninjas.
It's like you're the mayor, I guess.
But like cooler.
Cool mayor of the ninjas.
It's kind of a lifetime appointment.
Yeah.
You know, there's a different one for every village.
I think I like the phrase cool mayor of the ninjas, but like the reason I'm thinking like queen or king is because they like have a military, whereas most mayors do.
Okay. A mayor might be too small. We're talking, they're like kind of like the head of a state. Rather
governor.
Than like of the whole ninja world.
Okay.
Yeah.
In any case, I thought that she seemed cool. I didn't like, I don't know, she's standing there being very like, I'm the leader and I'm cool. So like, not
and
that
we do
I disagree.
Have a dearth of female characters.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, she's cool and I like her as a character. She made a bad decision, so she's in Baka.
All right, well, let's vote then. I think we're split. My vote is still for Scaredcoon.
Mine is still for Tsunade. So I guess you're the kingmaker.
To be honest, I think I have to choose Tsunade.
All right.
Just because that is such a big oversight. And like, it's just like I wrote myself into a corner with this. Like,
right.
Come on, you need to give it a little more thought.
Yeah.
A little more thought. Like, oh, they're all injured. We don't know where they are.
Oh, they're on assignment. Like, what was Guy doing? We've seen some of these missions. Sometimes they're retrieving a cat out of a tree or something. Like, is that what he was doing?
All right, well, that's the end of our episodes. We watched 123, 156. Love to hear what people think. What are your Bakas of the Week? What are your
favorite ships?
NPC of the Week and favorite ships. It's a little hard right now. I don't really want to comment on
that.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna this week just ship Shadow Clone Naruto with Shadow Clone Naruto.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. And yeah, we'll see you next time for two more episodes of Naruto the Anime.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
That's a bio.